Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast. Brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast by Wales Online. Brought to you in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm Ben James. I'm joined by Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato, as ever.
Good afternoon, Benjamin.
Afternoon.
Hello, everyone. Happy Christmas and all that.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Indeed. Season's greetings and festive cheers. And
I think I'm going to crack into a bit of Nat King Cole.
Bells, bro.
There we go. Yeah, week till Christmas, but we're here to talk about Cardiff City.
Yeah.
And there's only one place to start, and that's Elland Road. I think we all got our predictions wrong last week.
We did. I don't think any of us seen that result coming, though.
Nah, let's talk about that. Incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Comeback. I mean, I let Paul kick off. I'll kick off. I think my thing is, right, it's easy to look at the last 15 minutes. And listen, I give great credit to the team for the comeback. I really do, right? But I look at the problem. I don't look at, doesn't need fixing. I've said, and since Neil Warnock was here, and I know we keep mentioning his name, but we're going for a while. Since he was here, one thing Cardiff City, I've said it on the podcast before, Neil Harris got here, one thing you can rely on Cardiff is they finished strong last 10, 15 minutes, and they've got themselves out of jail so many times. And we asked the question, would that theme continue in the Neil Harris? But it was a Neil Warnock, thing. It was what they'd done. And it certainly has, but for 70 minutes, there is part of it. Leeds take off striker, take the foot off the pedal, thinking it's won. Fans, I heard the Leeds fans singing some obscenities, which it was nice to hear the Cardiff fans be able to sing it back to them. But we'll focus on the last 15 minutes in a moment. But for me, the first half, the non-existent. And for half of the second half, the non-existent now. That is a worry for me, because you're not going to get a worldly lead. Not going to get a worldly from Lee Tomlin every game, which gets you a little foothold in the game. And then a second. And then, Leeds will know they should have buried Cardiff City out of sight, out of mind. So for me, you've got to focus on that 70 minutes and the goals we conceded again, mate. I don't know. It's not a pop at the defence, it's not a pop at the keeper. The way we defend as a unit is just not good enough for me. I have to say it, it's just not good enough. Right from the front, I'm a striker, I was told it's the truth, you defend from the front. And for me, you can't be giving the amount of space people get. I mean, with the second goal, the header was it? The lad just nudges Marlon a little bit, just a little nudge, and then Aiden's like too far away from him.
Yeah.
Aiden's got to be clattering him there. Worst case scenario, they end up with a clash of heads or something, but he's kind of doing that head in midair, head in nothing sort of thing, where he's too far off. He needs to be leaning on the striker there. So, and the way we open up always to the counter attack is just, it's our Achilles heel right now, but we're going to end up shooting ourselves in the foot. Honestly, I just don't think you're going to get top six defending in that fashion. You're going to have to find solutions to those problems and quickly.
Agree with that sentiment, Paul?
But I think one of the problems, Blakey, I may have this completely wrong, and you're the expert who can offer greater guidance, but I think one of the problems is the fact that he put Morrison and Flint back together again and took Nelson out of the team.
That is a major problem.
And Nelson had offered a pace.
He's more athletic. He's got more legs. He's not a player, but he's athletic.
And I just think, because Pack, we've said before, is not the quickest in front of those centre-backs, so you've got to have a bit of zip there.
Mm-hmm.
And look, it maybe they were up against Leeds United, the best team in the division potentially, and they were just ripped apart. But you've got to look at the fact that he recalled Martin. I don't know why he did it, because Nelson has arguably been the best defender this season.
Yeah, between him and Peltier, you know. But it was highlighted from the start of the season. We said right from the start of the season, Flint is a carbon copy of
Morrison.
Yeah.
And being a striker and then being two centre halves, they try and dominate you in the air and physically when the ball's coming into your feet. But if you stand off them or the ball's played away from them, they're both in massive trouble. They are neither of them can turn quickly, and neither of them want to be running into channels or crossing each other. Hence why, you know, I think you're right, Paul. Part of the problem is you put those two back together. I just don't think they can play together, but they're not solid enough together.
I think that this is clear. That was clearly Neil Warnock's default position, and one presumes it is Neil Harris's default position. Now, maybe what we saw Ellen Rhodes, look, his hand is forced this weekend because Morrison is suspended and Flint may not even be fit. But I think it's a little bit of a concern that is his default position, because the problems are clearly there, aren't they? They're a bit too deep, and that creates this lack of flow through the team that we talked about.
Well, you can be, if you make a great point there, Paul, but because they're too deep, because their lack of pace.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? But then, like you've already mentioned, then Marlon's got a lack of pace in front of you, right? So already you're making gaps too big for someone like Marlon. And to be fair, none of the midfielders, you would say, the three central midfielders, whichever ones you pick, you would probably say Bakuna's the most athletic of the three of them, or four of them, whoever plays in there. But you wouldn't say we're dynamic in that position. We could do with some dynamism in that position, but you wouldn't say we're dynamic. So the two centre-halves dropping off, which makes the full-backs drop deeper, and then Pack likes to drop almost into the back four sometimes, but he has, in recent games, he has pushed out a bit more. But then the gaps are just there's too much space for them to try and cover, to be able to press and close down. So, you know, you play the athletic centre-back because he allows you to play that higher line for anything over the top, because you feel he can get there. But, you know, the distances are just killing us. And like I keep saying, out of possession, in possession, our shape isn't good enough. We definitely need a lot more work on it. You know, if they're going to start trying to move and rotate, you know, if you're looking from the sky looking down, you've always got players in the right positions. You just might have a left back in the left advanced midfield position and a left midfielder in the centre forward position and the centre forward in the right midfield, but you wouldn't have three players over on the right hand side or four players over to the left hand side, which often I see with Cardiff City defenders. You'll see a left back, a left side centre half, the left winger, left midfield, all over, like in one channel basically. And come on, fellas, that's just schoolboy stuff. But again, that's coaching. You get on the training ground and you get those things sorted.
So to revert to your original point, which is relevant, into you mentioned you don't look at the things that don't need fixing, which is how Cardiff finished well in the last 15 minutes or so. You look at the things that do need fixing, yeah? Leeds was a little bit of an exception because it lasted till 75 minutes or whatever. But it was the norm for this season. Cardiff, for whatever reason, start games poorly. You know, you could list a plethora of the games.
Absolutely.
Under both managers.
Yeah.
And yet, when they then have to go for it, they look so much better. So why? Yeah. Why are they starting slowly, Blakey?
Is it
the setup of the side? Or?
I think there's a few issues, like I said. One, if you're going to play with two centre-halves who, you know, like to drop deep, then that stretches the game too big.
Yeah.
Right? For any team.
Yeah.
The idea is, like anything, to be solid, you've got to be compact, right?
Yeah.
That's law in anything, any sorts of physics, anything, compact. So once you know I'm playing those two centre-halves, then you're almost accepting that the gap between your defence and midfield is going to be 5 to 10 yards bigger. The gap between then your midfield and your striker is going to be 5 to 10 yards quicker, right? Hence, the other team are compact and counter-attacking you or keeping the ball, whatever, but they're able to pick you off so easily, right? Because there's too much space to play in and players have run out of position and out of position. If you're a team like Leeds, what did we say last week, Paul? They're fit. They can run all day. What they'd done was lose focus and concentration. Thought they had the cup in their hand before they'd actually, the final whistle had gone, right? But they can't. You can't afford not to be able to match them physically with speed and stamina. And you're not going to get the same like-for-like all over the park. But what you know is, okay, if we're struggling for speed, say in the central or in the middle of the pack, then we've got to make sure either we play a real deep lying block, which allows Pat to sit in front of the back four, my strikers play a little deeper into our half, and then we're going to counter-attack. But that's the plan, right? You've got to have the plan. Or you play a higher line, squeeze Marlon higher and the midfield higher off you, and then the attackers allowed to press their defence higher up the pack.
But then with
or you go in between in the mid-range block. So you've got three options, but whichever one, if I'm playing Nelson, I'm playing a mid to high block. If I'm playing Morrison and Flint, I'm going to play a low block and counter-attack. But then I look at my wingers like Mendes, Lang and Murphy, they definitely come into play.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
So it's simple sat here. But actually, when you play the game, it's pretty simple because all you're doing is carrying out instruction. Yeah, and having a game knowledge and a game understanding. I think the problem they're having is transitioning out of that way they've played with Neil and Warnock for so long, and we're expecting it to be overnight change. I said it's not going to be, but by the end of December, early January, we should start to see some sort of progression, step forward, chain moving. We're not going from level 2 to level 8, but we should see us go from level 2 gradually into 3 and then start knocking on 4 door or into 4 by January. But at the moment, we seem to be still in the same boat. Like Paul says, we're starting poorly every game, plethora of games. Why?
See, we can talk about low blocks and use the new terminology, tiki-taka, modern day championship football, all that sort of thing. But one thing for me has not changed in football, Blakey, from yesteryear, from when you were playing, even before that, is it starts with your centre backs, right? Your centre backs have to be solid. They set the template for the rest of the team. And the Morrison Flint combination for a lot of people doesn't work for different reasons, probably because they're carbon copies of each other. Yeah, they're brilliant in the air, both of them. But there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
Now, this weekend, because Sean is injured and Flint... Sorry, Sean is suspended and Flint got injured last weekend. We don't know the level of Aiden's fitness at the time of doing this podcast. But it's possible he might have to make two changes. So Nelson, one presumed, comes straight back in. There seems to be a question mark about Sol's fitness, mm-hmm. your hero Sol
Bamba.
If he ends up with Nelson and Bamba as his centre-back pairing this weekend, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, what I would say, and I've said this to someone earlier, don't be putting too much expectation on Sol. Don't be expecting to see the Sol of old.
Yeah.
At 33, when you're 32, when you get those sorts of injuries, it's a hard road back anyway if you're 22. But father time, your body doesn't heal as quick, and it never heals as well as it would if you were 22, right? Yeah. But what Sol will have is the ability to be able to guide Nelson and the back four with his verbals, right? Yeah. That's what he'll give you. Now, what you've got to then make sure, but this, again, takes a lot of work on the training ground, that he's not, number one, ever stretching and doing his famous, you know, go-go gadget leg. Can't afford to do that right now. We need to get you back playing and up to a standard where, you know, then you can trust in those. You're not going to rip an hamstring or something like that. So don't expect too much from Sol. What I would say is let him lead and do what he does best with his verbals, right? But try not to get him at any time isolated. So you'll be saying if he plays right side, you'll take the penalty here. Unless they got an out-and-out winger, tuck in. and then you'll say that Murphy or Mendes Lang was in front of him, just play 5 yards deeper, right? So you're actually going in with protection of that defender, because you know you're vulnerable there. He's vulnerable, right? He's not.
So just to get up to game speed is what you're saying. Yeah.
Because playing 23s football is a totally different, you know, it's like saying to me, do you want a bacon sandwich or a steak? And thinking they're the same thing. They're not, right? 23's football is totally different. So stepping back into the first team, and we have seen him, be fair, then he's come back out again, niggly injury. If he's used or required, he's a soldier, he'll go in. But what I'd like to see is him get at least another 2 years out of his career. So go in, take time with him, and, you know, if something happens, you know, let's not, oh, well, it was this and that.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a bit of understanding and thought and, you know, try and protect him. But that's, again, now that's the manager's job, to make sure if he does select him, he gives him some cover.
I guess in that regards, coming in alongside Nelson rather than coming in alongside Flint or Morrison is ideal, isn't it? Because
he's more athletic.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Nelson can be your legs rather than Bamba sort of having to cover Absolutely. Morrison like he did.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the more positive things from Leeds, right? Which was what happened in the second half.
Fantastic. Yeah, second goal half, the second half.
Yep.
I'd be interested to ask you a couple of things, Blakey, about Lee Tomlin, because, you know.
Did you ever score a goal like that?
Never scored a goal. Never scored a goal like that.
So Blakey, what
would say?
Because I never scored a goal.
No, never scored a goal like that. Yeah. But the you know, it's plural. Score plenty of goals.
So better than that. Listen, we don't need to go again into what we have said consistently about you keep Lee Tomlin on the pitch, right? Again, there was further evidence of the importance of that.
Yeah, and let me just say for the fans, you've heard me say about my manipulation of managers before, right? Now you see the myth that sometimes is created as a player. I've seen this many times. That's created around a player, and then people pick it up and run with it. Can't play 90 minutes. It was a myth. Sorry.
Yeah. No, carry on.
It was a created myth, right? By the old manager, because he felt that type of player wasn't for him. Even though he bought him, he was almost buying him to keep fans silent. And then when we run away and had a great championship campaign, it was like, off you go to Siberia. Do you know what I mean? Don't need you. But then I'm going to create this myth that this lad's never fit enough and can't play 90 minutes. Truth is, I had neared that myth when he was at Bristol, or when he went along the Forest, or, you know, the ball went through him a lot for 90 minutes. Yeah. So just for the fans, just bear that in mind sometimes when, you know, a manager finds himself where he's put himself in an awkward position, you create something to lead you to believe that, oh, well, he's not playing because of this. Because I bet you 60% of fans would have said, if you'd asked them 3, 4, 5 months ago, before Tomlin, when he wasn't in the team or anything like that, back in last season, you said, oh, yeah, I can't last 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But we never have ever seen evidence of that, right? Yeah. We were just told that. So just be mindful.
Yeah.
So with a player like that, it's not really, you don't need to last 90 minutes. It's just playing 90 minutes.
There are certain players that you've got to give a little bit more latitude to. He wasn't playing well. He wasn't playing well against Barnsley the previous week, right?
We weren't playing
right?
well.
Okay.
As a unit.
Okay, but he
wasn't having a good game.
But I guarantee, without having a dig at the previous manager, the previous manager would have hoiked him off after 55 minutes, probably on both occasions.
100%, yeah.
I heard, without naming him, I heard one of your fellow, I was actually listening to the game on BBC Radio Wales, and I heard one of your fellow pundits saying Tomlin needs to come off, and I'm just thinking, it wasn't you weren't at the game, but one of your former colleagues was, and, you know, who used to play for Wales as well, and I'm just thinking,
they don't know what they're talking about.
No, don't say that, Blakey. I'm not saying that for a second. I'm just thinking, what's he on about? The opposite. Tomlin needs to stay on to try and get Cardiff back in the game. Now,
I bet he switched after Tomlin's goal, though, eh?
The goal he scored, I think, has gone under the radar. It was genius, right? He had a player coming to him, the ball was dropping, and to actually be able to lob that ball into the far corner of the goal, takes an extremely high level of skill, Blakey. The back flick to set up Glatzel.
The run made that.
Okay, but you could argue, oh, that flick could have gone anywhere.
No, it's it's a help on. It's not a pass.
Do you know what? The more you get assist,
but it's a help on rather than a pass.
But I mean, it's being dubbed.
He's putting it into an area hoping that Glatzel is running.
It's being dubbed by the championship, officially, as is this the best assist in the history of the championship? You know, that's
in
that's,
the history of the championship. See, listen, let's not.
But there were two moments
this season. Let's see.
There were two moments of genius there, weren't there? Which have got Cardiff.
Well, the what I loved about the first goal was as soon as it came to him, everyone thought, try and lob it. Right, it was your first thought, right? When you see the ball coming to him, you think, right, the goalie's out of position. Just you think, and the way it's coming to you, just try and take a touch and lob it. But the execution, saying it is one thing, doing it is another, right? Because you think you've probably got maybe a foot and a half strip,
to from get him
ground to crossbar to aim that ball at. You have to say round of applause. It was what we say in football as nonchalant.
And the flick?
The flick, I thought, was what I would say is it's a different to a pass, right? He means to do what he's doing, right? But there's no way you can say you mean it to get it into that position where the defender can get it and Glatzel can run onto it. What you're hoping is, I'm going to help it on, right? It's the same when someone hooks the ball over their head, the striker reads it, that split second before the defender, and he threw, and you think, wow, how did he see that pass? He didn't even know he was, well, in Tomlin's peripheral, he would have seen the blue shirt, he would have seen Glatzel, and he would have been hoping, right, as this ball comes, I'm not going to control it. Glatzel watches his body shape, and these are all decisions made in split seconds, mind, right? So Tomlin does a back heel, hoping, right, I can see a blue shirt, I wonder if he's going to make the run. He can see what I'm doing. Glatzel, brilliant. That is how Glatzel will score goals.
Yeah.
What have we said? How long have we said running on to balls?
Yeah.
Right? Running on to balls between the sticks. Running on to balls between the sticks. That is what he's good at. Not fighting, hustling, running. That is what he's good at. So for me, great little flick, right? Great little help on and a very good intelligent run. Both players in unison, that is, for
good
me.
Good finish as well.
And a good understanding, right? I'm anticipating what you're going to do and you're anticipating what I'm going to do. Brilliant, I thought. And then, again, great, cool finish.
Yeah, exactly.
So that, to me, augurs so well moving forward, because we had the conversation about the strikers last week, and I was asked if any of them float your boat, and I'm sorry, I'm not convinced by Danny Ward, even though I know the fans love him and he seems to have this good goal per time on the pitch ratio. I think his impact is as a sub rather than starting a game.
I don't see him as a starter.
Yeah. Madine, you know my views on. Vassal, to be fair, we haven't seen enough of. I've always felt with Glatzel, you can't score a hat-trick against Bayern Munich and not have goal-scoring ability. I've always felt Glatzel is better than we've seen at Cardiff City.
Well, we've
to
said
date.
That from day one.
Yeah, but we didn't see evidence of it, right? Yeah. But now, suddenly, with the slight, subtle changes to the way, and the way you're
what we've got is a number 10 who's not athletic, but is brilliant on the ball, and doesn't have to be athletic because his mind is athletic.
Yeah.
So his mind is two ticks ahead of most people. He reminds me, I played with Jason Bowen. Bowes was, I love playing with him for Wales under 21s. He was so, so on it. And if you're on it, you know I'm going to score goals for fun because he's two steps ahead of people. You just got to get up to his way of thinking.
And has Glatzel got that?
No.
Tomlin, though.
Tomlin has it.
No. What I'm saying is Glatzel got the...
Well, he's proved. They both anticipated each other's movement without actually looking at each other, giving a nod. Or, I'm facing you and I see the run, so it's the obvious run, so I'm going to play it.
So that's something to really build on, isn't it?
You've got to, yeah. What you hope now is that the manager looks at Glatzel and goes, okay, They're right on the boot room for the last 6 months. He does score running forward rather than backing in and fighting and flick ons. You know, he's that type of striker. Don't look at his height. Look at his goals. Look at his movement. And look at his game understanding. So, yeah.
There we are.
Yeah.
Know what to say?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
I think that's Ellen Road put to bed. Let's look ahead to this weekend. Preston at home. Festive season's always nice, isn't it? Games come thick and fast.
Crazy. Hardest time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, last time with Cardiff in the Championship.
Difficult time of the year.
This is,
I'm in festive mood, you can tell, can't you?
Yeah, last time Cardiff in the Championship, this is where the wobble came, wasn't it? But you can't really say that for this season, because
it's been
a win. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think Preston are punching way above their weight, Ben. They're third in the table. You shouldn't really be saying that about a team that are third. They're clearly there for a reason, but I don't see Preston last in the course. I think they're a team that could dip out. They always seem to do well, don't they, in the first few months of the season, and then bomb away.
Yeah, Brentford, very similar.
I think this is a game that Cardiff City are more than capable of winning. I really do. And I do think that, you're right, Blakey, they were battered for the most part against Leeds, and yet they've ended up with a draw for a whole variety of different reasons, including Leeds making the wrong substitutions, taking the foot off the gas, that sort of thing. Injury, you know, there's all sorts of reasons why that happened. But I do think, particularly the way you're talking there about Tomlin and Glatzel being on a similar wavelength, I do think that there's real potential here now. For the first time this season, with Mendes and either Murphy or Hoyder on the wings, for Cardiff to start showing some real creativity in the final third of the
yeah,
pitch.
Yeah, I would agree with
and
that.
I, you know, I haven't felt that. Mm. You know, I felt like it's got to be set-piece orientated and, you know, that's
the
best
beauty
shots.
For me is you've got Glatzel and Ward, I think, can play very well with Tomlin, right?
Yeah.
I think both of them are better going over the top and running on to things, both of them. But Ward will give you a bit more, I feel, because I think he's probably a bit more... he's used to the Championship, isn't he? He's got more, you know, experience at the Championship. I think Glatzel's yet to grasp it totally. But the beauty is now you've got two strikers. Oh, play one, you can bring the other one on. Impact, both of them, you know, similar. And then you've got Medine and Bogle in the background if you need cover or one needs to play 90 minutes or two or three games here or there. So, you know, what you're saying, and now it's time for those front quartet to start coming up with one touch, two touch, pass, move, little ideas around the box. What you've got in a player like Tomlin is, you know, that's why I said he thinks two steps ahead. So you have to get up onto his wavelength, sort of thing. And then what you'll see is things open up. How many times have we thought, oh, he's going to shoot, and he shapes the shoot, and he just pulls a little 5-yarder back sort of to his left, and like a Bennett or someone's running in, or Hoylett or something. He's very tricky. But once you know you've got that, for a player, it's for you to tune into that and get on his wavelength. Because if you're a striker, you'll get goals. I'll tell you that now.
I tell you what, Preston have got their own issues with strikers. Lewis Malt, he's out for the season. He got injured at Swansea.
They're actually doing well to be where they are.
They're doing well because I think, who have they got on the books now? They got Jaden Stockley, and then they got David Nugent, who's what, 46?
No time fate, man. Karma, it's a bad thing. He comes back now.
He will. He'll score.
Yeah,
it's like Cameron Jerome all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I suppose that's one area where.
Yeah, look, do you know, to be honest with you, I don't think there's anyone, really, aside from, the three teams at the moment, Fulham, Leeds and West Brom, have got very good front line, but I don't think there's anyone that you think yourself, oh no, we really have to go into a defensive sort of shape to beat this team. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I honestly think, you don't worry, too much do your work on the opposition. But honestly, our problems at the moment lie with us. They don't lie with the opposition. It's not our position that ripping us apart. It looks that way.
Yeah.
Because we're so open.
Yeah.
Right? Anyone will look like they're getting ripped apart if your midfield empties too much, or you've got four players down one side of the pitch in like a 25-yard space. Anybody's going to look vulnerable in that position. So for me, it's more about getting on the training ground. I'm working. I keep saying it, and I'll say it until we see improvements in it. In possession of the ball, keep your shape, but that doesn't mean to say you can't rotate and move, right? Out of possession of the ball, or anticipated out of possession of the ball, make sure that, you know, you're in the right position.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that is, if we're attacking, I'm in a position where I can get forward and score. But also, if it breaks down, I'm not a million miles away from where I need to be and get back in the position if Bennett goes and jockeys the right winger for all of 2 seconds. You know, 2 or 3 seconds, I can sprint 30 yards. Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's more us than it is the opposition carving us up. I haven't seen us carved up. I've seen what looks like we're getting carved up because people are running into stupid positions, right? Charlton was the obvious to me. People running into stupid positions, and then you've got two midfielders, one with the ball, running down the centre of your goal, centre of your half of the pitch, running at your back two, effectively.
Yeah.
You know, Peltier too wide on the right, Nelson on his own, Pack drops into the back two, a three, just all over the place. You know, so it's possession, positioning out of possession of the ball and in possession of the ball. And one other thing is things like, so secondary defending, we're getting technical terms now, but secondary defending is where you and I are playing against each other, Ben. Paul's my striker, and I got the ball, I look at you to pass it, and the striker with you is like bustling in, and but the other defender who's marking Paul is clicked off a bit because he thinks, oh, well, Nathan's going to pass the ball into the number one striker. And all of a sudden, Nathan goes whip round the corner into the number two striker. And that split second, by the time you switch on, he's gone.
What you call that? Secondary defending.
Secondary defending. So making sure if you're Aidan Flint, if the ball's going into the striker, and the thing is, they're not two strikers anymore. But the ball going into, say, Morrison, and I'm the second centre-half, say it's going down the left-hand side, our right, and the ball's coming into Morrison, right? If I'm Flint, I'm not thinking, oh, yeah, you know, Morrison will get that way. I'm actually expecting the ball to miss Morrison and come into my man. So you know, if the wingers come, I'm on it, I'm alive, I'm waiting for the unexpected.
Does that make it easier, or the fact they don't play two strikers, one striker, does that make it easier or harder to sort of not switch off? Because if you've just got like a, if there's two strikers and you each pick up a striker, you might tend to switch off.
But
if you're watching people coming from deep.
No, that's like a cop out, really.
Yeah.
Then, right? I know you're not saying it's a cop out, but I understand and take your point. The point is, if you're the goalkeeper and your team is battering the opposition, how many times do you see a keeper then, top keepers, pull off a worldy save from a counter attack? Why? Because they're concentrated and they're switched on. So you expected the unexpected.
That's what I mean. It's because, you know, like, if you are like Shaun Morrison's got the one man up top, then Aidan Flint, you're scanning who's going to make the run from deep. So you should be more switched on. Yeah, if anything.
Absolutely, but it's something then you work on as well.
Yeah.
I hope Neil Harris has like got and pointing these things out, because there are reasons why defenders are running into stupid spaces, and they still got a bit of. Not a bit, a lot of the old guard, where I'm telling you to follow that right winger right across to the other back side of the pitch, left winger, and all of a sudden my right back and my left back are within like 8 yards of each other, right? So it's still a bit of that going on. So, mate, it's like I would be going 2 sessions a day for the foreseeable future until these things, and I'm not talking about pegging the legs off people. Talking position, I'll be watching a lot of DVD, a lot of video, and working on shape in and out of possession of the ball. Right? If the ball travels over there and you then run 40 yards past him and end up over that side of the pitch, you're causing us a problem.
There we go. Shall we end on predictions?
Go for it, yeah.
Ooh, I let Paul go first.
Ooh. You've been summoned.
Right, I'm going to say something you haven't heard all season, because I haven't had belief in the way Cardiff have played. Preston a third in the table. All logic says.
I think it's Preston win then.
Right? I'm going for a 3-0 Cardiff City win against the team third in the table.
Okay. I'll go for a 2-2. I don't think we're in a position yet, nowhere near, after the performance for 70 minutes. I think you have to do a lot of work. I don't think we're in a position where clean sheets are going to come like London buses or anything like that. I think we need to, well, from my experience of football, you need to work towards that. And that is a collective of 11 people and substitutes. So I think we're still vulnerable to conceding goals. So, but I think we good thing we got is we finished strong. So I'll go with 2-2.
Yeah, it all depends on who plays centre-back for me. I'll go 2-1. I think it'll be late as well.
Cardiff get the winner.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when is it ever not late at the Cardiff City Stadium?
Yeah, always late.
Right, that's it for today's podcast. Thanks, as ever, for joining us. And you can catch all the latest Cardiff City news on Wales Online.